you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. When you get there, say amen. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. If you're there, say amen. Good to be here tonight. Good to be around God's Word again tonight. I don't know about you, but I need God's Word tonight. I need some help from God's Word tonight. And I want to say this. Let's see. I'm looking for somebody. I don't see Shane. She's upstairs. Che, you give me that report, and it just shook me up so much. I hope I heard that right. Let me frame it this way. These churches that got hit hard in Western North Carolina, where we're going to be going Tuesday. And I do want to remind you about still bringing stuff. We'll be open all day tomorrow. And we're going to go down there on Tuesday. We'll go to Victory Baptist Church. Then they'll take it by horseback, by side-by-side, by helicopter into small areas. But I want you to know there's some churches. There's one church I know in that area around Newland and Boone, the church is gone. It went down into the river. It flooded out. It was removed from its foundation. There's no church there now. Our dear friend, Trinity Baptist down at Brother Ralph Sexton, but he's paying pastor by another church. I got news that there's still a big number of their congregation that's not accounted for yet. It doesn't say they're gone. It just says they're not accounted for. Is that right, Brother Chad? And Chad gave me the number, 50% of them. Am I correct? That was what's given us today. And that's a great church. And my heart goes out to them. How about y'all? Glory. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I got church on my mind. I don't know how a person gets by without having a good Bible-believing church to go to. I just don't. You never grow unless you get into a good Bible-believing church. You're not going to be a successful Christian without a good Bible-believing church. I want to take you to one in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, the church of Thessalonica. And I don't know how I'm going to label the message. Let's just do it this way. A model church, or what kind of church we ought to be and every church ought to be. By the way, I'm not talking about a universal church. Amen. You know, I've had people come and say, I'm a member of the big one. Well, next time you get sick, you call the big one's pastor. The invisible church, next time you get sick, you call the pastor. Next time you need an offering, you call the invisible church. Not on every occasion, Chad, but 98% of the time where the church is mentioned, it's mentioned in a local sense. Just like this right here, a called out group of born again believers. So I'm going to read this chapter, give you a few thoughts, try not to get bogged down. But I got the church on my mind tonight. Thank God for a church. I want to say thank God for this church. Amen. Now, when I said the title, I said a model church or what we should be. I didn't say a perfect church, because the day I walked into this church, it became an imperfect church. Because I'm an imperfect man. But I'm talking about one that is fashioned after what God wants it to be, not what a man wants it to be. look at these wonderful verses. Well, before I do it, let me give you a little more introduction. This church at Thessalonica, by the way, this church wasn't started easily. How many know that? When Paul went into Thessalonica the first time, he went in there with great adversity. Many of y'all remember him going in there with great adversity, and the adversity came by from the Jews that were there at Thessalonica, and he stayed in a guy's house named Jason. And if you study the Bible, you know that Paul was run out of Jason's house, and they assaulted Jason's house, and they wanted to kill him, but God preserved him. And then Paul went from there, from Thessalonica to Berea, and those same Thessalonican Jews came to Berea and upset him there. Now this church was birthed out of adversity. It was a poor church. But when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul boasts of the poverty of that church, how they gave of themselves first and then gave of their goods to the work of God. So let's look at the verses. I tell you, Jeff, we need a church. I tell you, Brother Greg, we need a church. I want to tell you, we all need to be a part of a church. If you're online, you are online church, and you can worship with us right now, and you can praise God right now. You're listening to a Bible-believing church. Amen. And you're listening to a preacher that's going to preach line upon line and precept upon precept. And I'll show you some here. Let's look at it. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Look at this. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Somebody help me preach that. But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God would is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, Paul, get this, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What? How many believe that's a great passage? And that passage is talking about a local assembly of believers. That's what that passage is talking about. And I want you to know, I liked what I heard, and I want this world, and I want our state, and I want our county to know what kind of church we have.
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you six things that this church was and why it was such a model. Number one, we should be an encouraged church. How many believe that this is a discouraging world? How many of y'all agree with me that this world is hostile to us? And I want to say this. Somebody asked me this, and I'm just going to go on public record. Said, I haven't noticed you being very political this year. And you're not going to hear me be political. That's not my job. My hope's not in Washington, D.C.
Amen.
My hope is not in the next president. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who established the church of the living God and shed his blood for it.
Amen.
We should be an encouraged church. Look at three things. Number one, be encouraged by your brothers. I like to take a survey from Jeff and Mike and Anthony and all the others in the church that's going through it. How many of you had a brother or a sister in this church that's called you or wrote you a card or told you that they loved you and you didn't know you had that many people that cared for you in the first place? I'll tell you where you can find encouragement, not out in that world. If you're going to find it, you'll find it in a place like this. I don't know how far I'm going to get preaching tonight. I'm starting to bog down. Remember when I got hurt 3 years ago, September the 8th? 25 days in the hospital. Guess what happened when I got out of the rehabilitation place? My wife couldn't take care of me. My wife couldn't take care of me. I'm a big man, and she's a little woman. I'll tell you what, there was five associate pastors and a couple deacons came down there and put me and carried me, oh, whatever I weigh, into that expedition and brought me home. Listen to this, you ain't gonna get this out in the world. And for 3 days a week, low scale, for almost 9 months, I needed them to get me in the car and drive me to therapy and love on me. And then, Sister Briscoe, I see you and your husband who God planted y'all here. I believe God planted y'all here, and you got a great business, and I thank God for our church members that have good businesses that's helping the community. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I want you to know, your honorary husband about killed me, but he helped bring me through. Every time I see one of you that brought a dish of food to my house and came by like Justin Painter with a quart of ice cream from Dairy Queen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I say, hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to encourage each other.
Yeah.
Amen, Brother Ray. This church is trying to be good to you. We try to be good to all of our people. And if we miss something, it's just because you did not notify somebody. We're encouraged by our brothers. But also we're encouraged by our God the Father, who loves the church. and gave his son for it. And there, nobody can encourage me like God, and nobody cares for me like Jesus. He cares for you real good. And by the way, he didn't die for the PTA. He didn't die for the Lions Club. He died for the church.
Amen.
Somebody help me preach right here. You ought to thank God for the church. We ought to be encouraged. Amen. I'll tell you what. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I won't lie to y'all. When y'all bought all that stuff down last Thursday, I didn't lift a thing. I didn't, but I sat there and just watched you. And everybody started bringing that stuff in. Lord Skill, you talking about encouraging me? I saw all our members bringing that in, smiling, loving God, not giving us no problem. Man, oh man, I'm glad I'm a member of a church that believes in encouraging each other. And that's what that church was.
Amen.
Number two, write it down. Whew, glory, Chad. Chad, this is good right here. Number two, not only should we be an encouraged church, let me get a little deeper in this. In verses 2-4, we should be an energetic church. Somebody asked me, said, y'all busy all the time, and we ought to be. There's a world dying and going to hell, and they need somebody that cares. Listen, look at this energetic church. Verse number two, they were energetic in prayer. Look what it says. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. How many of you glad God's a prayer answering God?
Amen.
You ever had somebody just pray for you? They had no motive. I had an old sister pastor. His name was Bruce Young. I'll give you some advice. If you didn't want him to pray for you, you better not ask him. You said, well, what do you mean? And how many in this room ever asked Bruce Young to pray for you? Raise your hand. Let me ask you this. Did he wait later? Huh? He prayed for you in Kroger's. He was a man of prayer. I want you to know the Bible says the effectual, forever prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and marvelous things which thou knowest not.
Amen.
Seek it, you shall find. Knock it, it shall be open to you. We ought to be a praying church.
Yeah.
That's it. That's, by the way, that's where the power comes from.
Amen.
That's where conviction to sinners come from. Amen. But let's go on. Let's hurry. Look at verse number three. Not only that were they ceaseless in their prayers, but they were constructive in their faith. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I want you to know, if you ever really get saved by the grace of God, that salvation will produce good works. How many agree with me? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I was not saved by works, but when I got saved, it put me to work. This church, as impoverished as it was, as weak on the exterior as it was, they had a work of faith. Is your faith working? How about your faith? Is it a working faith? Is it in charge? Is it motivating you to do more for God, Brother Zach? That's what faith ought to do.
Yep.
Somebody asked me, said, Why y'all doing so much down there? Because we believe we ought to work for God. And there's a day coming when we can't work, or a night coming when they won't be any working. And then look at this. A labor of love. Oh, we ought to be constant in your love. I tell you what ought to motivate us. By the way, we love him because he first loved us. What motivates somebody to just want to reach their arm out and love them? What motivated that Macedonian church to send an offering to the church of Corinth? Love. I remember, and the pastor there tells me about it almost every month or so, because he remembers. When Pastor Swore's church went through something like what happened down there, but not the same. They were flooded out. We're in the middle of a building program. And they were hurting, Lois. My friend was hurting. And I went to the deacons. I said, can we do something big for them? And they said, what's big? And you know what? They didn't even moan. We got a great set of deacons. They didn't complain. I said $100,000. And we brought y'all and y'all vote on it. We took a check for $100,000 expecting nothing back.
Amen. Can't outdo God.
Expecting nothing back.
Yeah,
and that pastor put his arm around me and said, and remember the night we took the check up and the choir went up there and we sang and we had such a glorious night? That's the labor of love I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
And we did not do it, Brother Denny, to get anything back. But 2 years later, 2 years later, one of the brethren that has attended our church but wasn't a member, God gave us $100,000 back. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And he loved God. Why'd he do it? Because they loved God. Somebody ought to help me preach right here. I want you to know something. God is there. Hey, by the way, thank God for somebody loving on me.
Yeah, amen.
It's a whole lot better than somebody frowning at you.
Right.
Am I preaching tonight? This may not be a shouting sermon, but I want to tell you, I'm glad I'm in a church tonight that loves and cares for people.
Amen, preacher. Good preacher.
A labor of love. Whew. A work of faith. Y'all with me?
Amen.
I'm moving. Confident in hope. Look at verse 3. And the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why was that put there, Brother Chad? Because this church was challenged. Their faith was challenged. Over the last few years, and I'm not going to get on a sore subject. I'm just going to say it kind of generically. Our faith has been challenged. Just because we've took certain stands. Because of our hope.
Amen.
We were persecuted. Hello. My assistant pastor and I'm glad I don't know how to. Can I tell y'all something that may make you laugh? I don't know how to work my answer machine. So if you send me a bad message on the phone, shame on you. I didn't hear it. But Chad knows all about that stuff. Don't you, Chad? Chad checked my phone and his phone. And during that time, Brother Ray, That's some people cussed us and laid into us just because we got a hope. And we believe that living right is right. And we believe we ought to have a civil society that's pure.
Yes.
And I wouldn't give you a nickel for a church that didn't preach that. Because I want to tell you what, I represent a church with a lot of young families. And that's a job, a responsibility I got tonight to try to protect our young families. Then you need to be certain of your election. What that means is you need to really realize if you're really saved or not. How many remember the day you got saved? Raise your hand and shout for me. How many remember when the Holy Ghost came to you and convicted you of your sin and you were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and you'll never forget that day? Whoa! He said, when did you become God's elect? The moment I trusted Christ. Tell the Calvinists I said that. Number three, I'm moving. Verses 5-7. We should be an exemplary church. Look at verse 5. First of all, we ought to have the right message. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. I want you to know something. What you get from the pulpit at Taze Valley Baptist Church, whether it's I'm preaching, Chad's preaching, one of the staff preaching, Zach preaching, or one of our preachers in this church, you're getting the truth.
Amen.
You know, a lot of things have changed about Taze Valley. When I came here, we had no programs but Awana. When I came here, the choir, Lord, you know, Roger, it was down. But now we get to hear one of the greatest choirs in America. We got a great staff who loves God, whose whole attitude is to reach people with the gospel. Every Monday, I get a blessing. You say, what's your blessing on Monday? When I see Rose Kiefer and her band come in here, get their tracks, and go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Tina, I don't know if I've ever been more blessed than the day you had that boy sitting out on the stoop and you took the gospel to that young man and led him to Christ. I don't know if I've ever been any more blessed to see that on social media as you win that boy to Christ that day. Hallelujah! And she preached the right, or not preached, but, well, yeah, she preaches sometimes. She taught the right gospel. We got the right message. If we got the right message, why don't we share it? Am I all right? Then with verse 6, then we pursue the right men. Paul said, and you became followers of us. He's talking about Timothy, Silvanus, and himself, and of the Lord. I want you to know something. Loyalty is an important thing. Boy, it's quiet in here. We ought to be loyal to each other and loyal to the church and loyal to the pastor. And you know, disloyalty is a terrible thing. But they followed the right man. I want you to know something. I've ceased trying to prove myself to anybody. If 50 years of ministry and 46 years in the same place, preaching the same gospel and loving people ain't proof enough, then I'll never be able to prove anything to you. Say, Preacher Smith, I don't always agree with you. Well, my wife doesn't either. Join her. I remember about 30 years ago, I made a kind of goofy decision. Didn't mean nothing. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it's just goofy. You know what she said, Lois? I'll never forget it. She said, that might be one of the dumbest things you've ever done. But she, you know what she said? But I love you, and I'm sick of by you forever. You know what we need to be? We need to be loyal to one another and love one another. Hey, the church of God is the last hope for this world.
Amen.
Am I preaching? It's where your family needs to be. And then they provided the right model. Look at verse 7. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Hey, I want you to know something. There are some preachers out there, Chad, that's trying to make a name for themselves. That has never been your preacher's job. But I want you all to know this. The testimony of this little church of Taze Valley is all this country. And in a lot of parts of the world. That young man we're taking the supplies to, I don't know him. Victory Baptist Church pastor, I don't know him. I do now. I talked to him Saturday. You know what he said to me? Oh, we've heard of your work. Well, it ain't my work. That was improper English by him. Ain't nothing about this me. It's all about God. But he said, I heard your ministry. You know what we got a reputation for? Susie, I'm looking at you. My wife used to do it, and you're doing it now. We got a reputation for serving the best food at camp meeting of any church around. And it ain't all carbohydrates. I went to one church, and at best they could do for hallelujah. And you know what my meal was? Spaghetti. Mac and cheese and mashed potatoes and gravy. Now you say, did you turn it down? No, I ate every bit of it. But I wasn't real pleasant to be around when I went around people. What do you say? I thank God for the women of the church that cook here, for those that cook for the people that are grieving. We got five, is it five teams? That cook food every. Somebody, you want to be on a team? You said, I'm not on that team. God, sign up with Susie, get on the team of cookers that goes out and fixes food for the bereaved and hurting. You'll get a good word from those people that you helped. Thank God. I don't know if y'all, the people on Facebook know this. I'm not on Facebook, some people tell me, but there's churches in the Philippines, all over, that I'm their preacher. They listen to us. Our church is over there. I hear from them every week. Church, you're an example. It'll thrill your soul. Just be an example. I'm hurrying. Am I all right? I'm just preaching the word. Is that right, Zach? Have I been accurate so far? Number four. I'm going on. Verses 8 and 9. You soul winners, listen to this. We should be an evangelistic church.
Amen.
Look at verse number 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. You know what he said? We don't even have to tell you it happened. Everybody knows about your gospel. Amen. I tell you, I'm glad your church, you belong to, is reaching people with the gospel. Those tracks back there. Sherry, I think you were here. Your daughter was here this morning, wasn't she? Well, she does. She's out of this church. She's in the printing business. She helps churches that don't have no money for free to evangelize. Evangelism results in salvation. Verse number 9, how they turn from God, from their idols. Real repentance. Then lastly, I'm done and I'm closing. Lois. You know, I like this last verse, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, I like this. We ought to be an expectant church. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Just any day. Yeah, we got a lot of hurting people. We got a lot of people really going through it right now. Probably the most this church has had in years. And I've never seen the leadership of the church go through so much either. But I want to tell you what, Jeff, and all you folks in this room, that's, you've been through it. One of these days, this is not the end. I'm going to get a new, look at me. I'm going to get a new body. Somebody raise your hand if you are looking forward to that. Like an unto his glorious body. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Not only am I going to have a new body, my mama is too. And I'm going to see my mama. She's up there now. And my sister. I'm going to see your daddy, sister. I want to see Jesus, but I'm looking forward to seeing my loved ones. Eddie, we'll see your boy. I know your heart still hurts, but I want you to know something. You got hope. Anthony, ain't going to be no cancer in heaven. Ain't going to be no trouble in heaven. Ain't going to be no sickness in heaven. You won't lose any children in heaven. Thank God for heaven. I'm just looking forward to it. We ought to, my God, you ought to shout right there. Think about it. You're even smiling. Think about it. Going up to be with Jesus. Changed in a moment, twinkle of an eye. Taking out of this old sinful wrecked body and getting a new body like his. What a day that'll be. But if you're not saved, you're not getting one bit of that. And you need Christ. Will you stand with me? Maybe you're going through something tonight and like for your church family to love on you. Why don't you come around the altar? We'll love on you. Father, thank you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.